everyone. It is Esme here with IDK Cast Season 2, number 4, recording live from my IDK Cast bunker. This is the podcast that shares what we know, what we don't know, and asks our listeners, did you know? Like I said, I'm your host, Esme. Today is March 1st, 2018, and today we will be talking about a lot of cool stuff, and I'm going to get us started with what I know. All right, we're going to start off with a story about a young girl named Nadia who lives in Norwich, England. She has been dubbed the trash girl by bullies because she is environmentally friendly and picks up trash along her 2-mile route to and from school every day. And she takes her time to take care of the planet and leave it to some little jackwagons in her class to see her doing good in the world and want to, you know, pee on her parade, as I say. Well, this is not cool, but what is cool is that she does not care, and I'm a firm believer in, you know, the best things in life are often the harder things to accomplish because obviously it's not easy. So the planet is being rewarded by Nadia and her big heart and her selflessness. But she's being rewarded too, because this is just going to launch her into a world where if she can get over these jackwagons calling her trash girl at the age of 12, that girl's gonna soar, and she's gonna soar high when she gets out of school, because that's gonna be a cakewalk to her. So good on you, Nadia. So, but instead of letting them bring her down, she is using their negativity as motivation. She is quoted saying, "I am not going to stop doing the right thing because of them. And if they're going to call me trash girl, they can say it with respect," she said. "I'm doing something to protect the world they also live in. It's everyone's job. We are all responsible for keeping this world safe instead of believing that it is always someone else's job." Aha, yes. Cut from the same cloth, Nadia. I feel you. You go, girl. Nadia's mom, Paula, has also said she is extremely proud of Nadia for not only standing up to her bullies, but also for standing up for what she believes in. Absolutely. You know, the wise Garth Brooks, maybe it wasn't him. I will have to Google this. BRB. It's not Garth Brooks, it's the country singer Aaron Timpin. I've always loved that quote, "You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything." And it sounds like Nadia has a spirit beast and his name is Aaron Timpin. So, right on. That's awesome. You go, Nadia. Keep it up. If you have been inspired by Nadia's story, did you know that you can also be inspired by doing good things? Because there are actually some health benefits. According to mentalhealth.org.uk, helping others feels good. They say that when you help others, it promotes positive physiological changes in the brain associated with happiness. And they say that these rushes are often followed by longer periods of calm and can eventually lead to better well-being. And it also helps improve your social support. It helps to encourage us to lead a more physically active lifestyle. It helps to distract us from our own problems by helping others. And it also helps us to engage in a meaningful activity. And that in itself improves our self-esteem and our competence. And that's just one little chunk of goodness right there. It also helps to bring a sense of belonging and helps to reduce isolation. So if you feel like you're just floating through life on a little twig going down the river and you just don't feel like you have a purpose, being part of a social network can also lead to a feeling of belonging. And it's said that the face-to-face activities such as volunteering can help you to reduce loneliness and isolation. And I can see that because it does feel good to help people and you make friendships and you put yourself out there. And once you have your comfort zone, it becomes your comfort zone. Kitty, it's like a new comfort zone, taking that little step, that little edge out there. So that's cool. It also helps to keep things in perspective. Many people don't realize the impact that a different perspective can have on their outlook of life. So have you ever felt like, you know, you feel like, oh, I'm so poor, or I don't have this, or I wish I had another TV, or I wish I had more food in my pantry? Well, you know, and it's cliche, but there's always somebody that has it worse. And often we take a lot of things in life for granted, in my opinion. So I think helping others and getting out there and seeing that, if not someone else has it worse than you, or you have it better than them. Just seeing that there's people out there just like you. Half the time, when we're feeling down and out, we feel like, oh, we're the only one that feels this way. But if you open your mouth and you start talking and sharing with other people, you will quickly realize you are indeed not the only one that has ever felt that way. And you're not alone. And so that's cool too. And it also helps to make the world a happier place because it's contagious. Those little acts of kindness that we do makes us feel like going forward and doing more. It inspires us. So that's really cool. And also, the more you do for others, the more you end up doing for yourself, because evidence shows, according to this article, that the benefits of helping others can last way longer, way, way longer than the actual act itself, because this helps to provide like a little kindness bank of memories that you can go back through and draw upon in your future. So when you're feeling down, you have like a little well of goodness that you can go, you know what, I might feel bad today, but last week I helped someone and it really made a difference. And you can bring yourself back, you know, get out of the sludge, the quicksand of icky feelings, and remind yourself that it's, you know, a bad day only lasts 24 hours. The next day's gonna start, you know? So, hey, we're gonna be moving on to what's next. Oh, did you know?
Did you know that? I didn't know that.
All right, this is the segment where I ask, did you know? Did you know? If you're not sitting down, you might want to sit down because it's kind of interesting. And if by interesting, you mean kind of, I'm not really sure if I'm buying what they're selling by that. Yeah, it's that. The latest craze in the food industry, according to every news story popping up in my Google feed and also on the CNN.com article, is in vitro or clean, air quotes, meat. It's produced by extracting stem cells from animals and then growing and multiplying those cells in a lab to create a piece of meat. Yes. The cells start to divide and start to form new muscle tissues, and we let them proliferate until we have trillions of cells. Dr. Mark Post explained he is the CEO of Mosa Meats, and he is also one of the earliest creators of clean meat. The process of making hamburger patties takes about 9 weeks. You heard it correct. 9 weeks. So, the Dr. Uma Valetti, CEO of another clean meat manufacturer called Memphis Meat, said it's the same technology that's being utilized in the medical field to repair organs. He says at his own cardiology practice, they use stem cells in a clinical study to repair damaged heart muscle. So I'm kind of interested to see like how they said, you know, we're repairing this heart muscle. I bet we could grow our own meat. So that's, I wonder where the... What a bar napkin and stuff has that brainstorming session on it. That'd be interesting. They said, how does it taste? To achieve public acceptance, industry leaders all agree that in vitro meat must taste the same as, if not better than, what we know as conventional meat. Bruce Friedrich is the co-author of Kathy Frust... is the co-author with Kathy Freston on a book called Clean Protein, The Revolution That Will Reshape Your Body, has tried chicken and duck from Memphis Meats and concludes that these products both look and taste identical to traditional meat. So if that's the case, I know because there's a lot of stuff out there about like how unhealthy the practices are right now in the meat industry and all that jazz. And so it's kind of really interesting to see where this kind of stuff will go. Paul Shapiro, who is the author of Clean Meat, How Growing Meat Without Animals Will Revolutionize Dinner and the World. So there's two books if you want to check on it more. Has tried clean meat versions of beef, duck, fish, foie gras, chorizo, and they said that they taste like meat because they are meat. I mean, in essence, it sounds exactly like what they're doing. They're just doing it in a scientific way. It's another way. All right. So I know that I'm kind of on the shelf about eating some lab created meat. I'm one of those people that would like to think, you know, I just like to sit back and see if they're like anybody grows an extra foot or something before I totally invest myself in eating lab created meat. So I took this question to Twitter, and you can follow the show at the IDK cast. Real simple, I know. But I did a poll, and yeah, I think a lot of people are maybe on the, you know, side of where I would feel like, but I said no way. But we also have 30% of those polled said no way as well. 10% said sure, and 60% said maybe. So there's that. So if you want to participate in future polls, just follow me on Twitter at the IDKcast. So there's a lot more on that. I include all the links to what I'm talking to you guys about in my show notes. So we're going to be moving on. All right. So, you know, a lot of action movies or like drama or thriller movies always show like someone walking through a dark parking lot, you know, and they're like fumbling with their keys and there's some creepy creeper coming up behind them. Well, in this case, the creepy creeper was in a Japanese parking lot and it was a creature called a tardigrade. That was my setup. How do you like it? So according to Newsweek, and like I said, every other article, they're bombing. You're either going to see this new tardigrade species or lab meat at some point in time this week entering into your news feed. So this is coming from Newsweek. Scientists have identified a new species of tardigrade after it was discovered in a Japanese parking lot. Yes, that's right, a Japanese parking lot. The bizarre little creatures are distinguished by their weird bulging legs and the string-like filaments that grow from their eggs. Ugh. The new species is described in a research paper published Wednesday by a Daniel Steck from the Jagiellonian, I'm going to go with that, University in Poland, with his colleagues, and there's a picture and everything, and actually, it's so ugly, it's cute, if I can say, yeah. But tardigrades, I did not know until today, are short, plump, little micro animals that have eight legs, and they measure around 0.02 inches long. Sometimes they're called water bears, or moss piglets. Yeah, that's a new name you can call your significant other. Hey there, little moss piglet. I'm sure, yeah, that might not fly very well, but you might want to try it. Just be funny. Oh, so the critters pop up everywhere from deep seas to rainforests because of their resilience, because they are a species that can like totally survive extreme radiation, air deprivation, and even the vacuum of space. These guys don't mess around. That's all I can say. They don't mess around. Fossilized tardigrades date back way more than 500 million years ago. And they found a new species just hanging out in a Japanese parking lot. It's craziness. It's crazy. So in this latest addition to the tardigrade family, which has 12,000 species, it was discovered lurking in a clump of moss. So I wouldn't know, like, who was walking through the parking lot. I was like, there's a fantastic patch of moss over there. I think I'm going to look for a tardigrade. And then, like, get down. And then, like, how can you see it, you know? Or, like, how, I don't know. I just have a lot of questions. I'm not sure. I just try to put myself in their shoes. And I'm like, the last thing I would have thought was, oh, there's a great patch of moss. I must go look for microscopic moss pigs. You know, maybe that's why. I don't know. But it says that the team looked at the puffy little creatures under the microscope and analyzed their DNA to confirm that they were indeed a new species. And that new species is titled Macrobiotis shenakis. Yep. So they also say, according to Michael Shaw, the tardigrade enthusiast and author, you can find these critters in most any clumps of moss or lichen on trees and even the bricks of your neighborhood. Just scrape off the moss into a petri dish, add some water, and wait over the night. The next day, you just may be able to spot a tardigrade in the dish with just an amateur microscope. Wow, that is really cool. It's starting to get really cool. It was starting to get a little creepy with the dark parking lot and all that stuff, but I think that this sounds kind of cool now. So there you go. In case you wanted to know, that's a thing. Okay. Okay, we are going to be finishing off the show, sharing some stuff that we didn't know, and that is including these national holidays. I had no idea where today. I always like sharing these because, you know, there's a day for everything. And they've ran out of days, so now, like, days have, like, 5 and 6, 7 national days piled on top of each other because somebody's always coming out with a new day. And some of these titles that you'll start to see kind of make you feel like they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. Yeah, kind of get that. So we're going to get started March 1st, 2018. What day, national day, is it? It is National Minnesota Day. National Minnesota Day. I think that's kind of self-explanatory. I don't think I should have to elaborate on that one. But now this one's kind of catchy. It's National Dadgum That's Good Day. What? So yeah, Dadgum That's Good Day is much more than a Southern phrase and a little bit of John McLemore's best-selling cookbook series. It's the summation, supposedly, it is the summation of a life's work in creating delicious food with his world-class master-built cooking products. So how did this guy get his own day called Dadgum That's Good Day? As this John's signature dishes and cooking style left a lasting impression, and it leaves a lasting impression wherever he goes, especially in the South where people love to proclaim, Dadgum That's Good! Yeah, you know what? I kind of liked it when I made up my own version of what I thought it'd be, because I just think it's kind of lost its luster now. It's just some dude running around making good food and people yelling at him, Dadgum, that's good. But hey, I'm just not as intrigued now as I was. I thought it'd be more, they didn't thought it'd be better. National Fruit Compote Day? What? Oh, okay. The word compote is French for mixture, so it's National Fruit Mixture Day? Okay. Let's dig a little deeper. A compote is a dessert that originated in the 17th century France. It is made up of whole pieces of fruit, a mixture, and sugar. It sounds like fruit cocktail. This just sounds like a fancy way to say you're cracking open a can of good and plenty or food saver or Spartan cocktail, fruit cocktail. With the little weird cherries. Yeah, you know which one I talked about. You're even lucky if you get like 5 cherries in a can. You gotta spring for the high quality can that's like more cherries. You get like 5 extra cherries. So the whole fruits are cooked in water with added sugar and spices. The seasons which may be included in the syrup are vanilla, lemon peel, orange peel, cinnamon sticks, cinnamon powder, cloves, ground almond. Oh, this is starting to sound a little bit better. Candied fruit or raisins. Fruit compote may be served either warm or cold. I wonder, so it went from fruit cocktail to like fruit cake. It's like a mix. It's interesting. So hey, in case you didn't know, now you do. It's also Fruit Compote Day. National Horse Protection Day. I think I can do that. That's a good day right here. The National Horse Protection Day was created to bring light to the plight of horses in America and beyond, and to help the thousands of unwanted horses in this country to find forever homes. That's a great National Horse Day. It was founded in 2005 by pet lifestyle expert and animal behaviorist advocate Colleen Page. There are over 1,500 national days, so I'm really glad that this is one of those. That's really cool. That's a good day right there. Also, in case you did not know, it is the National Peanut Butter Lovers Day. Another good day. That's good stuff. Peanut butter. One day is not enough, you know, for this peanut butter. March 1st was made for National Peanut Butter Lovers Day, and the many ways the peanut butter has been paired and blended and added, and all the ways that you can eat peanut butter, which is, I did not know this. I made peanut butter cookies last night. Hey, I'll digress a little bit. Really easy, like if you're trying to cut back on carbs, but for some reason you're cutting back on carbs, but you can have a mega ton of sugar. This is the recipe for you. You take 1 cup of peanut butter, 1 cup of sugar, and 1 egg. You mix it up in a bowl and you throw it in the oven. I know it sounds weird, right? 1 cup peanut butter, 1 cup sugar, 1 egg. You mix it up real good. You spray your cooking pan or put down your parchment paper or whatever, your little tray, and then you shove it in your oven. And it said like 6 to 8 minutes. I actually had to put it at 350 degrees. So check that out. Anyways, back to National Peanut Butter Day. That's one way you can celebrate, is those really easy peanut butter cookie recipe I just shared. So, and then, hey, in case you didn't know, we're going to round up March 1st by selling. This kind of works with the recipe I just shared with you. It's National Pig Day. It is observed annually on the 1st of March, recognizes the domesticated pig. This holiday includes events and celebrations at zoos and schools and nursing homes and sporting events all around the United States. Pig parties and parades and gatherings under pig with pig collectibles and all that jazz. I've never been to a pig parade. I've never seen a Hallmark movie, because you know Hallmark movies always have like, they either have parades for holidays. There's always like jam cook-offs, bake-offs. Not once have I ever seen a Hallmark movie around a pig holiday. I feel like that should be a thing now. They should be doing that. So yeah, have their people call my people. I have ideas. Did you know it is time to cover some very bizarre facts? And to get us started in our plight of weird facts is, did you know during your lifetime you will produce enough saliva to fill 2 swimming pools? Yeah, that's good stuff right there. Did you know that movie trailers were originally shown after the movie, which is why they are called trailers? I did not know that. And did you know heart attacks are more likely to happen on a Monday? I guess all those Monday morning gifts that we see on social media kind of really probably have a reason behind them. Yeah. And did you know if you consistently fart for 6 years and 9 months, enough gas is produced to create the energy of an atomic bomb? Nope, I sure did not know that. But I do know this is the end of season 2, episode 4 of the IDK cast. Until next time, be like Nadia and be the light. Be the light. All right, that has been another episode of the IDK cast. You can contact the show at the IDK cast on Twitter. You can email the show at theidkcast@gmail.com. And you can now download a free app. It's called Anchor. It's A-N-C-H-O-R. It's on iPhones and Android devices. And you can follow the show there. You can leave me voice messages. You can clap along, hit the little clappy button. And you can also record your own podcast there. It's really cool. And it's free. Even better, right? And you can also subscribe to the RSS feed if you have your own podcast catcher listening devicey thingy. You can follow the show with your RSS feed just by getting the RSS feed at this site. It is anchor.fm/the-IDK-cast. That's right. So thank you, everybody. And until next time, be the light.